The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I do not understand you. And I will never understand you. That is a fact and one of increasing concern. And on top of this, my enemies now call you king.
And they called you a weasel, Lord. Neither is true.
Welcome to The Last Kingdom by Marion Blake, brought to you from Providence, Rhode Island. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So let's sit back, relax, and see how England was made. Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And, you know, I love splashy filmmaking. I love it. Just, I know some people are against it. When the show or the movie says, look at me, I'm so special. Look what we're doing. I am all about that life. And we got that today in that final scene. That final scene of Tura and Ethelflaed running away, and it's just this one giant one shot. Oh, my goodness.
Express, that is for certain.
Oh, I loved every second of it. Give it all. Give me all the flashiness.
So we are really excited. Those of you at jointhenerdclan.com, you, of course, voted for this to be our next podcast. And I got to tell you, thank you. Thank you for picking such an exceptional series. It's really captivating, Blake and I. It is making it so hard for us to watch one episode at a time, as it is available to be binged on Netflix. But if you were one of the lucky people who voted for this show, I hope that you're enjoying this podcast. And if you are not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, this is our call to you to join now for a little as $2 a month. You really make a huge, huge impact in this mom and pop podcast. And I do want to make sure you all know, as we are heading into the holiday season, as I believe the holiday season begins at Labor Day, that we do send holiday cards to our friends who are at the, I forget what the level is.
I think it's Kinsmen and Up.
Kinsmen level and up, you will be getting holiday cards from us. So please make sure, if you do want a little loving from Blake and I, that you sign up at jointhenerdclan.com. All right, let's get into the show.
All right, let's do it, shall we?
We shall. All right, here we are, episode 6 of season 2, and we're going to be learning a little bit about the episode details.
Yes, Blake. Absolutely. Of course, as Mary said, episode 6, the director was Jamie Donahue, who did the last episode, and if you remember, Jamie Donahue has done a couple of different episodes of television, including The Innocents, Endeavor, and, as always, A Discovery of Witches. So all of you nerds out there that love A Discovery of Witches, go back, check it out. It's actually episode 301. It's the premiere of season 3.
Very
so
cool.
Check that out. And the writer was Chris Bouchard, the showrunner for The Last Kingdom. This is the first episode that he's written, not for this season, but in the past 3 or 4 episodes. This is the first one he's written. So that is that. Marvin, your Shields rating, what do you got?
I gave it a 4.9, honestly.
Okay.
This is a really good episode.
Fair enough. I like where your head's at.
There you go.
Let's do it. Let's keep going. For me, you know, I think I'm going to give this one a 4.9 myself again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I really liked this episode quite a bit. I was a big fan, and I loved it because of all the different contrasts, and we'll get into that in a little bit. but your shields rating. I mean, not your shields rating, your GBG. What do you got for your GBG, Marvin?
Okay, so my good for this episode my good for this episode was Father Bianca once again. I mean, he's just like my go-to when it comes to things that I love about the show. I loved that he, of course, not only is married to Tira, but he Tira, whatever.
I gotcha.
You know, Tira, potato, potato.
Stats of a nerd.
Exactly. I loved that moment where, you know, he's asked to see if Princess A, Princess Ethelfled, whatever, exactly.
Stats of a nerd.
Mm-hmm. The princess, if she had been unfaithful, if she actually had been deflowered and used by other men in the past. And, you know, he really feels so awkward. Like, this is the princess. This is totally wrong. And really, I just loved how he just like threw it down. Like, I'm not making you do this. You are fine. If God wants to strike me down, so be it. Boom. See, not struck down. We're good.
Yeah.
So that was my good. Just I adore him so incredibly much. My bad is Alfred. Alfred just not listening to anybody, not listening to Otter, even though Otter's straight up telling him, you are making the poor choice.
Yeah.
He's got Squirt, what's the guy's name?
Stiappa.
Stiappa saying, like, I would trust him with my life.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, you think of everything he's been through with Uhtred. Of course, Blake and I are able to be just watching these shows, these episodes once a week. So remembering Alfred's life being saved with Uhtred, you know, in the swamplands and everything, they've been through so much. You would have thought that their bromance would be a little stronger, but no. So shame on you, Alfred. You are my bad.
Okay,
and my great for this episode is just that last scene. The last scene of the camp being raided, like you were talking about. I just thought that, like, this was one of the hardest times for us to stop and say, shoot, we can't go into the next episode. We need to do the podcast. So yeah, that was my great. Was that last scene?
Yeah, I feel you on that one. And of course, that's going to be my great as well. So I'll just throw that out there right now. But my good is the brothers, Eric and Siegfried. I feel like they're actually really people right now. They're not just the bad guy. They're
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, they're not the villain. They're actually really people who have made choices, and they can reflect on those choices. And their back and forth in this episode, you know, was especially about the cross and how it kills people. And it's like, and they're just joking and busting balls. And
you get to see what a brotherly relationship like as deans.
So far, it's been just very, it's been very mechanical, and it's been very like, oh, it must be bad.
I'm naughty. I chop people up.
Yeah.
I wear fur.
I want to be the lord of chaos. Like, and not to say that's bad, but just, it's not real.
Which one is that one? Which is the handless one?
Siegfried.
Okay.
Egfried. You know what, Mary?
That's their name.
You get this one.
Egfried.
Egfried. All right, my bad. Ethelred. Oh, Ethelred, Prince Hans. He is just the worst. It has nothing bad to do with the show. It's got like how the writing and the directing or anything. It's just this guy sucks. He sucks and he blows. He is awful.
Can I just tell you that he's giving me like anxiety about future lovers of our children?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just sitting there be like, oh my gosh, if this, obviously like this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to be of this level. Mm-mm. But just like, there's scummy people out there and they better not be dating my kids and making them cry. Obviously, it does a heck of a lot more to the princess than make her cry. But I'm just saying, I don't trust people right now. I've watched way too much Netflix and like, I don't trust strangers.
Tiger King and don't F with cats.
Granted, I'm a podcaster who ends up hanging out with my strangers in real life.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
You like Harry Potter? I trust you.
Me too. Here's my credit card. I love the line from Ethelwald, where he says, it's a pretty bread pudding of a boy. And Ethelred, is...
Bread pudding.
Bread pudding is good. You've given me the love of bread pudding.
You're welcome. It's a hug. It is a hug.
It is definitely a hug. I'm in on the bread pudding life, especially the chocolate bread pudding that we just had recently with the caramel. Oh!
You're welcome.
Anyway, the pretty bread pudding of a boy from Ethelwald, that description is great, but it is not Ethelfled. Ethelred. Is bad news. Bad news. And I just feel so terribly for Ethelfled. Speaking of Ethelfled, my great is a tie. The first one goes to the score that was playing while Ethelfled was being introduced during the wedding scene. It is this beautiful, like a tandem digital and traditional score that it married everything perfectly together that the show is trying to accomplish. Loved every second of it. But the real great, of course, and it just has to be this, it's that final one shot. That final one shot, and it was not all done in one take, by the way. It was, you can see certain edits where they're made, like the movie 1917, the one that we went to go, that was like, I think the last movie we saw in the theater before the pandemic, by the way. 1917 was the one about World War One and the soldiers going through the back country of England.
Yeah.
Or Germany, I think. Yeah, it was Germany. That whole movie was one giant take. Well, it was one giant shot, but it was edited and spliced together in certain places where the screen goes dark or someone covers up the camera so that you can see the edit. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't necessarily see the edit. There's no break, but you can tell that that's where they edited it. And that is what happened with this particular one shot. It was stunning. And you were right in the middle of the desperate attempt of trying to escape and Ethelflaed running away and Tura being like, death is coming! Like all of that. Give me all the flashy filmmaking that you can possibly give me. I am in on flashy filmmaking. So that is that, Marvin. That is my good, my bad, and my great. What else stands out to you in this particular episode, my darling?
Well, I think if you're sitting down from Alfred's perspective, I would like to kind of talk things through with his risk board placement of what he's trying to do and the choices that he's making. Because he's on my crap list, right, Alfred?
How come?
You're out of here. Because he's not choosing Uhtred and he's talking smack.
Yes.
You know, for Otter to be like, yes, he did go into Daneland. Yes, he did go talk to people, but he's back here and he's telling you the truth of it. Now, granted, Alfred says, yeah, it wasn't until I asked him.
Sure.
I asked him, did you go into Daneland? What did you do there?
A fair assessment.
What did you see? You know, so had I not asked him, he wouldn't have confessed to doing all of this. So it's a really tricky spot for Uhtred to be in, because for Uhtred to be this amazing soldier that he is for Alfred, he needs to be both Dane and Saxon. He needs to kind of know what's going on both sides. And he always has been true to Alfred. He's taken the knowledge that he has of the Danes, the way that they fight, the movements that they're going to be making, all of this. He's taken this and he has brought it to Alfred's attention.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And he's not... You're right. Alfred is just not listening. And I think that is part of what makes this episode so special, because the contrasts, as I noted at the beginning of our podcast here, the contrasts here are just phenomenal. I mean, whether it is Alfred not taking the word of a heathen or, you know, someone who doesn't believe in God, a trusted person, someone who has had his back. Yes, he's done a couple of things here and there that are a little questionable, but like he's had his back.
Yeah.
But then he actually takes the word of someone who believes in God, and that being Ethelred, and that's the guy that's beaten his daughter. Like, and he's doing it just because the guy believes in God. Like,
you know, for him to go and he kind of is like, ugh, this is what a pagan hall looks like. You know, just he keeps hating. You've been able to see it. You've been able to see him really loathe the fact that one of his right-hand men is pagan.
Yes.
You know, and hates that about him. And, you know, it just stinks. And obviously Uhtred feels that way. Like, he's never going to look at me as the person of my worth that I know I am, that I know I have been to this country for the lives that I've saved, the lands that I've saved, all because of me being a pagan.
Yeah. And that is the hardest part for me.
And I don't even really see Uhtred as like a practicing pagan.
No, he's just going about his day.
He's just him, but he's not a Christian. And that's the difference.
And that's if you're not a Christian and you don't believe in God, then you're a pagan. That is it. Like, no matter what you do, no matter, you could be like, no, God's cool, man. I just, like, I'm not into it. You're a pagan. Mm-hmm. And that is that black and white movement from Alfred, and he's suffering from it a little bit here because he's losing faith from the people that do have his back. You know, there's that great subtext of that scene where Alfred does kick Uhtred out, and you see the looks that Stiappa and Otta give Alfred, and they're like, dude, are you sure you want to do this?
Like, I mean, Otter's even the one who's like, can I go tell him personally?
Yeah.
You know, because I actually like him. So how about we give him at least that respect?
Yeah, something. So, something, whatever we can do. And building on top of these contrasts, Mary, is some other great contrasts. The way that this episode started with Gisela in the water and just like showing her back, mm-hmm. and the two of them, Uhtred and Gisela, kind of just, you know, like playing around and doing what they did.
Little and, tubby time.
Yeah, little tubby time. Tubby time is good. I'm in the tubby time. But the episode starts off so wonderfully and so like
calm.
And the way that it ends is the exact opposite, you know, such a great contrast.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we heard Alfred say, as soon as Uhtred comes back, you know, make sure his wife stays here because we're going to use her almost like the bait, that he can't come back without seeing his wife and we're going to catch up with him. So when we opened on that shot of them having a little tubby time in the pond, and she's even joking, like, I don't really feel super clean, but whatever. I thought to myself, oh, that went swimmingly. Like, he's already back with his wife. There were no big repercussions.
You know, it's.
We get the gorgeous wedding, though. The royal wedding.
Okay. All right. I have to call out Gisela's outfit in this.
She won.
She won the day.
She was the Pippa.
Oh, she was totally the Pippa. Oh, my goodness.
Ain't nobody looking at Princess A.
Oh,
everybody's
looking at Gisela.
Yeah.
That's
who the tabloids are going to write about. That is who everyone's going to be talking about.
She's the Pippa.
You know she is. Everyone was like, dang.
Dang, girl. Showing up with that red dress. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Come on now. You can't upstage the bride like that.
She doesn't care.
She does not care. And Ethelfled, you know what? I liked the Ethelfled dress. I did. But the pink and the blue, I'm not a huge, it was too muted for her. She needs more bold.
Oh, see, I saw it very Princess Aurora with the pink-blue fairies going back and forth. I'm a pink, I'm a blue, I'm a pink, I'm a blue. And I was like, this is a nice compromise. You know, I think what it helps, I think one of the things that is difficult in this show is that Ethelfled, princess, you know, is she supposed to be shown in kind of this age range that is somewhat nebulous? You can feel that the show is going to be hanging out with these people as they get older, you know, three years has already gone by, and it's been the same actress. So she needs to be able to portray someone who is young. Like, how old is she supposed to be? Maybe 16, maybe 17?
Yeah, my guess is 16, 17.
And yet, I feel like I'm hoping she doesn't die too soon. So maybe we'll be seeing her 21, 22, 23. So they need to kind of have these characteristics like the dress, you know, in that fashion too, that we're able to see even with the queen. Like, nothing's like sultry like the pagans do. It's much more like less form fitting. It's of the time. But I saw that with the pastel pink, the pastel blue, as this younger innocence.
Sure, I like that. I'll give you that one. Great thing about Ethelfled, too, in this episode also is that, again, we're getting some great contrasts from Ethelfled. That being the fact that she has been brought up by Alfred as this princess, like someone who should be speaking her mind. Mm-hmm. Someone who is like very... I hate to use this term, but like woman forward, like for that time, just very forward thinking. Like,
she's grown up with her mom. Her mom completely speaks her mind.
Right. Like, I have an opinion. You're going to hear this. And like, no, it's like I was brought up to talk about politics and stuff. Yet at the same time, she's married to this jabroni, Ethelred, who's Prince Hans. And he doesn't want any of that crap. Mm-hmm. And yet... Ethelfled still feels the need to do her duty and just take it. Just do everything that is against what she would normally think to do for herself and just take it and say, yeah, this is my duty. I have to do this for Alfred.
See, I didn't necessarily see it as that way. I saw it as more, I need to do this because I am going to get more power out of this because I am... you know, a chess piece that needs to be played. And obviously you feel terribly for her as she's being raped by her now husband and, you know, it's just being emotionally and physically beaten by her in different ways. And this is just the beginning, sadly, but luckily she's kind of being kind of rescued in a sense. I don't know what's going to happen, but, I'm like, well,
Can't At least she's away from that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you wanted to get away? The universe provides.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, I kind of felt like when she was able to say that to Tura. I'm always going to mess up her name.
You are going to. It's okay.
It's fine. That she says, like, no, I have a role to play in this. I am still the daughter of Alfred. You know, you almost got the sense that she wanted to say something to her dad when she passed by him praying. You know, mm-hmm. She was kind of standing there, kind of waiting. And obviously he would have seen the sadness in her face. He knows the light that she's able to bring forth. But let's also remember that this princess has been trained in battle. You know, she's been trained in like sword fighting and stuff, and she doesn't mess around. So
sure.
I'm excited to see what happens for her. I kind of feel like this is going to be her big break.
Like that she's going to go off and do you think she's going to do anything to
like... like pagan that princess up.
Is she gonna get Egfried? Is she gonna kill him, do you think?
I don't even know. I just feel like she's gonna have a blast. They'll be like, hey, princess, do you want to learn how to fight? Yes, I do. Would you like some fur and braids? Yes, I do. You want to have a sexy dress? You bet. You bet I do. Because they're not gonna kill her.
Mm-hmm. No, they're definitely not gonna kill her.
And I don't think that they're going to give her the Tura treatment.
I doubt it because she's
the princess of Alfred. If they end up like torturing and raping and doing all of that to her,
yeah.
They've got big issues. But yep. If they're able to have her and leverage that.
Yeah, they're not going to give her the Tura treatment. I don't think so.
No. I'm hopeful. I mean, I know that I'm an optimist. So actually we could just turn into the next episode and she's like crying and bloody and beaten. I'd be like, well,
there goes saw that coming. Yeah. Speaking of Tura, there's also some great contrast in this episode, too, between the two weddings. First, we have the wedding between Biaka and Tura. By the way, the stipulation of marriage and not marriage, we'll get into this later. Someone has sent us a message about that and whether or not Biaka could marry Tura and not give up being a priest. So we'll get into that later. But that marriage is one of... love and respect. And
did Uhtred become a minister online like I did to marry them? See, I'm a Reverend Mary Catherine Larson.
Yes, that is very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. Yes, she actually just married a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
So there's that. That marriage is one of love and respect and care and friendship and mutual respect. Whereas the other wedding, the more grand wedding. Is one of politics and expediency and world building, and the respect for those marriages is very clear. You can see it the way that Biaka escorts Tura out of the boat when they're on the boat, and he grabs her hand and gives her a kiss and everything.
Just a little knight in shining armor. By shining armor, I mean
I know.
Potato sack.
Potatoes.
You are that to our wedding?
Oh, Mary. Makes me wanna shout. Oh, that was good. Wearing a potato sack.
Essentially.
And you can see the contrast, too, with the way that Ethel Red just gets out of the boat and Ethelfled's like still there and just chilling out. And he just gets up and walks off. Oh, God, I'm out on this guy. I'm out. Totally out. Want nothing to do with him. But, you know, the more that I think about it, this show has really exceeded my expectations, I think.
Agreed.
And I wonder why, and this episode really brought this to my attention. I wonder why more people aren't talking about this show.
Well, it's off season right now.
No, I know, but like in general, like it's not in the pop culture zeitgeist. And maybe it's because it's, you know, a period piece and it's not necessarily kind of like Outlander a little bit. It's not 100% definable what it is. You can't call it a sword and sandal epic because it's not. You can't call it fantasy because it's not. You can call it historical fiction, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah, it can be that.
But it's not like it's. What would you, if someone asked you what this show was? What's your elevator pitch for it?
Vikings invading England. So yeah, historical fiction.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it just, what I wanted to get at was, I love that this show is full of all these political moves and these backstabbings and these machinations.
I think it's just an oversaturated market. I think right now, particularly, you know, there's just so much TV to be had that you've got your people who just watch like the main non-streaming, non-cable platform TV, and they know what they like. And then you have people who have their specific types of genres and they stick to that. So you find your community of like-minded people, but like, is this going to be a show that everybody talks about when you guys get together on Sundays for football? Probably not. Like, unless they already like that type of genre. It could be something. What I like about it being on Netflix is pretty good about getting to know you and getting to know your preferences and then saying, you may like this.
Yeah. True. Good
you know,
point.
A lot of people I know have found Outlander because of that, because of their tastes and styles. And now that Outlander has its previous seasons on Netflix, a lot of people are finding it. So I assume that that's what happens with The Last Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Also, in addition to the brothers becoming more of real people and having good, like, actual back and forth that somebody I feel like people would actually have in conversation, right? We're also getting that too with Team Uhtred a little bit here. Team Uhtred is having a lot more relaxed back and forth. It doesn't feel stilted. It doesn't feel written. It
feels authentic.
It feels authentic. And a great example of that is when Finan and Uhtred are in like this area, like this the main hall area, and Ethelwald is talking to them. And he just won't shut up about the dead guy. And Finan looks at Uhtred and just says, should I hit him? You know,
like, yes.
and you know, Ethelwald smiles. Everybody smiles and everybody laughs. This is what you're looking for when you're creating relationships in your story. This easy back and forth between the people when you feel like I would actually say something like that. Because of that, those relationships are getting better. Dare I say, Finan is getting into Leah Frick territory.
I mean, I'm interested in him. I think he's a fine specimen.
Yes.
So he can hang out. He doesn't need to die this season. He doesn't need to have the one season stint that Leah Frick had. He could stay a little longer.
I think all of these characters are going to be sticking around longer. I think Citric's going to be around
until
longer.
Until there's war.
Yeah, I still think Finan's going to survive. I think they know their mistake, what they did with Leah Frick, and they know that they need somebody to like be around.
Okay, so let's talk about people who I do want to die.
Okay, who do you want
Ethelred,
to die?
Ethelred, a.k.a. Prince Hans, yes. And his little friend. What's his little friend with a bull haircut?
Speaking of that, oh my God. When Uhtred goes to the guy and says, I cannot remember your name. Like, you're speaking for all of us,
thank
Uhtred.
Thank you.
You're just a guy with a Lloyd Christmas haircut. Like, you just showed up. His name is Aldhelm.
Stupid name.
At least that's what I remember it being, Aldhelm.
Okay. Anyway, he's obviously the puppet master.
Yeah, this guy.
Between Ethelred and Guthrum, or Guthred, what's the king's name?
Oh, Guthred.
Yeah, whatever. Between these jabronis, like, what are we doing here? But obviously Ethelred stinks even more because of how he's treating the princess.
Yeah.
But we've got this puppet master here, bull haircut, Floyd Christmas haircut guy, who's just like, ooh, what I really want is for Alfred to die and us to go to war, and that's going to be great because then we can kill him. Ha, 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 ha. And you could be the king of all. I want him to have a moment of maniacal laughter.
Just like that.
Like, in case the viewers didn't know who the real bad guy is.
Yes. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, because he looks like such a dweeb.
Oh, he is such a dweeb.
And I love it.
But I'm a little scared of him. He's moving pieces.
Well, because he's not like a warrior physique. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's just like, oh, I'm going to speak to the king. Like, where's Ethelred's parents at this wedding? Why does this guy get to sit at the head table? Who are you?
Who's this guy?
He's like, he's my bestie. So he gets to where I go, my bestie goes.
Good friend of the show. Someone that is very close to us. Our friend Tim actually has a fantastic Destined to Be theory of the week.
Do tell.
That Aldhelm and Prince Hans, they're a thing.
Ethelred.
Ethelred. They're a thing.
Bromance.
Are you co-signing on this idea that
I'm
like
down for that.
It's a little Braveheart-y, as my friend Tim said. It's a little bit of Braveheart there.
Listen.
But do you think it's reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at it from that context and the way that they look at each other and the way that they speak to each other. And something also tipped me off to this too when Ethelred looks in the mirror and he says, "How do we look?
How do we look?"
Yeah. And Aldhelm says, like royalty or whatever it was, you know, like whatever Lloyd Christmas
said. Like when you're out going as a couple and you're trying to make sure that your outfits kind of coordinate, don't clash too awfully much. How do we look? Do we look okay? We're polished.
We're good.
Okay, good. We're good.
Right. Yeah. Like I think that they might be a thing.
I'm here for it.
I'm kind of here for it too. And maybe
if not, it's okay. But I'm just saying, if it's here, I'm here for it.
Yeah, sure. Whatevs. By the way, talking about Danelan at Ethelfled's wedding, is that the proper time to speak about Uhtred going into Danelan?
Who's talking about it?
Alfred, remember, summoned.
Oh yeah,
Uhtred.
Listen, I gotta tell you, people who run big businesses, work never sleeps. Okay, just because it's a wedding, like. Alfred's like, yay, I'm glad you're married. Okay, let's keep going. Because, like, the wedding wasn't about love. The wedding was a risk move. It was a chess move, you know? So he's here for business, and he doesn't have time to sleep. And the people he needs to talk to are here.
Yeah, it's true. Say it with me now, Mary. It always goes back to the Godfather.
I don't believe that.
It always goes back to the Godfather.
Good for you.
You handle family business at weddings. And you have to go off. You got to do things. You got to take care of it. That you handle.
But everybody's already there.
That's what I'm saying.
And they had a bite, so they're not hangry. So you know you can talk to them somewhat reasonably.
But that level of disconnect between Alfred and Uhtred is so apparent. And there's even a level of disconnect between Aelswith and her daughter. There's this moment after the brutal scene between Ethelfled and Ethelred. Mm-hmm. After the brutal scene, as soon as that scene is finished, Aelswith, who is Alfred's wife, comes up and is talking to Alfred as they're walking down the hall. And she says, you know what? That's a great day. Really successful day.
Clueless, Mom. Clueless.
Like a total disconnect between the two. Yeah. While she's saying this, we have...
But she didn't. There's no way that she could have
known.
Leading up to the wedding, the princess.
Oh, Ethelfled.
Whatever. See, once again, the princess was like, "I'm so happy."
That's true.
So she couldn't have known until after.
But it's more of a narrative disconnect. You know, it's more of an editorial viewer disconnect that we can see.
We know.
And it goes to show you how blind all the blinders that are in place. All the blinders that are in place because of this godly versus ungodly, Christian versus pagan thing. Like, for all the strengths that Aelswith has, she is very ignorant of life and the people that serve her husband, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Speaking of serving
husband, can we talk about the Saxon jabroni who talked too much last episode but brought it this episode?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Father Warrior. That's what I'm calling him.
Keep vamping.
But
I
loved it because Uhtred was like, oh, I know that guy. That guy's the guy that wouldn't be quiet, but he said he's a warrior. Uhtred. Wonderful memory skills, by the way. Okay, got this. And how about he fight for his freedom? The guy is awesome. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about the Danes is they're pretty good about sticking to their word. You know, he's like, well, are you sure? I could kill this guy. I will not kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But are you sure I get to go free? And then what do you know? Egfried comes on up and slices the guy's throat anyway with his little extra appliance, his appendage.
Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
His knife hand. You lost to Father Warrior anyway, so we're done with you. Father Warrior, can I please go home with Uhtred?
Perlig.
Oh, so that's his name. That is not a warrior name.
that's more
sounds
of like a...
Sounds like peg
leg. Sounds like you've been in the library all day.
Oh, yeah, hey. Father Perlig.
Perlig, hi.
No.
Did you see my ear medicine?
Father Warrior is much better. Do you think Father Warrior, how is he going to handle things going forward?
Oh, that's a good. I mean, I don't think it's coincidence that Siegfried goes up to him and says, "Join us." And Pertlik does do the right thing. He says, "Nah, not maybe 10 years ago, maybe, yeah. But now I fight for God." I think that has. You don't ever write something and have it be totally useless. Every single line of dialogue has to have a purpose. It could be for one purpose or another, but it always, always, always must be purposeful.
And this intent. Show does that.
And this show does that. So there is going to be, I think, this struggle between, do I stick with Alfred,
Father
who sent
Warrior.
Me over here? Father Warrior. Do I stick with that? Guy sent me over here to let me to the dogs.
But Uhtred saved me.
Right. So
maybe
now
I'm
is he going to be
Uhtred.
Part of... Yeah,
I think he's Team Uhtred.
I think he's going to be Team Uhtred,
and I'm
too.
Here for it.
I loved the dark humor from him. Just, yes. You know...
And how he kind of acted like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Is this? Didn't he say, like, I always stick with the pointy end? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how do I do this again? When he's like, I got this,
you know,
man.
He's like, unlike the Saxons and unlike the Danes, the Romans were clever, you know, yes. Like those little lines.
Yes.
Those little lines keep happening throughout this episode. Another cool little line that just keeps repeating itself is Clappa. Kept talking about food.
Oh, the mustache guy, white mustache.
Can you get me some food?
Yes.
Hey, Jimmy, I need food.
So I need a little clarification because I've got a little bit of it mixed up. Because when Uhtred and Ethelred decide to go invade the uninvadable castle.
Yes.
Siegfried and Eric are supposed to be in that castle, right?
Yes, it's London. It's not necessarily a castle.
Okay, London. Oh, okay. Yes, that's what it is.
Okay.
So where did they go? When Uhtred rescues Father Warrior.
Yes.
Okay. And then they like left.
They left.
And then they made this plan.
Yes.
With
Alfred.
With Alfred and with Ethelred. And then they go back to London.
Mm-hmm.
Is Father Warrior fighting with them then? I forget.
Did not show him there.
I'm really concerned about him. I think that he's awesome and he's like, I want to keep him.
Hey, he went off on his own way.
Maybe, you know, he probably... He went on like a little vacation.
Maybe he
a spa day.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You know.
Little mud treatment.
Deep tissue massage.
A float tank. Yeah.
Float tank.
Like you were almost just crucified. So let's give you the weekend off.
Oh, man.
You can come join us for the next battle.
I'm sorry.
So this battle comes in. We got Ethelred.
Yes.
Prince Hans. Who's just like, listen to me. I know everything.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. And bada, 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 bada. Both of their plans stink.
They're both
leave
not great.
The camp alone.
I know.
With all the ladies. Why would you do that?
You wouldn't leave like a couple of guys in the. Like, even if they left a couple of guys back, it
I
still wouldn't
have
mattered.
I think they did leave a couple of guys.
Maybe, sure.
They always leave a few. They always leave a few to protect everybody.
And it just shows you the. I don't want to say selfishness. Like, do you feel like Ethelred made Ethelfled go to this, you know, area?
Yes.
Because he owns her and you're going to go because I demand you go?
No, I think actually when they said we want Ethelfled as a trophy, like we want her, mm-hmm. I think that's why Ethelred brought her. I think Ethelred wants Ethelfled to be taken. I think he wants war. And I think that he knows if Ethelfled, I mean, he's Prince Hans. He doesn't care if Elsa and Anna die. That's actually what he wants.
That's true. That's a good point.
So if Ethelfled dies, oh,
whatever.
Well, I'm
yeah,
still
so
like
what?
Prince of Wessex.
Sure. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I married into the family. I've got all these rights. And now, because that's what they're saying. He and his bull haircut friend want war.
Yeah.
They want all this bad stuff to
yep.
happen.
Yep, yeah, him and Lloyd Christmas.
Yes.
He will now forever be known as Lloyd Christmas.
So I think that they're here for. I know that you had even said maybe he's in cahoots with Egfried. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not against that. It didn't look it in this episode. He truly did look shocked. So maybe
yes.
he's got some great acting skills. So I don't know if he's in cahoots with them, but I don't think he's going to mind that they stole Ethelfled.
I think, yeah, I think he's going to be like, okay, well, you know.
Well, now I get to go to war.
And this is going to set up a great conflict.
Do they get captured? Do Thora, whatever her name
Tura,
is,
yep.
okay, Black Swan, and
Black Swan.
And Princess Ethelfled.
Yes.
Do you think they get stolen? Because I think
absolutely.
When Princess Ethelfled was running through the
nope.
woods, she saw Tura, and then she saw three figures. And I don't
yeah.
think those are her friends.
They're not her friends. She's totally getting captured.
Yeah.
And it's going to end up being Uhtred who rescues her. It's not going to be Ethelred.
I totally agree. And
when Uhtred finds out what Ethelred has done to Ethelfled, because listen, I am all on the Gisela train. 100%. Give me all the Gisela. But I told you from the beginning, Ethelfled is the dark horse. Totally the dark horse.
I mean, she just needs to age up a little bit, so it's totally not rocking the cradle.
Yes, that's true.
Like, give her a couple of years.
Telling you, she's the dark horse. And Uhtred's got feelings. I'm telling you, Uhtred's got feelings. They may be subtle. They may be soft.
No, but he likes her. He knows that she's a warrior at heart, that she's smart, and she likes him, too. She calls him her lucky charm.
Yes.
So there's definitely mutual. Even if, here, I will say this. Even if there's not romance and, like, lovemaking and all that kind of stuff, the more that she can come to power, I think that there is definitely a great level of respect. I think that maybe there could even be some chemistry.
Yep.
But I do. I hope that she gets taken in by these Danes and that she's just like, oh, bring it. Like, I'm here. I'm here to soak up the culture. I'm here to learn some more fighting stuff. Maybe she joins up with Uhtred and says, you don't need my dad. I know everything. You want Bebbanburg? I got you.
Yeah, maybe that's a good one, Mary.
My dad just let me be a pawn. I got you. I want braids. I want a sexy dress. Can I come live with you guys?
Is she going to be as sexy as Isil?
Can she marry Finnan?
Oh! Yes.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
They can have just like bestie couples. They can go out for date nights together. They can celebrate Valentine's Day together.
And she's like, and when I marry him, I'm going to be the sexiest one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to wear the red dress. Thanks. Mic drop. Okay.
Speaking of Ethelfled,
She's probably dead by next episode. And we're like, Drew, say once again, just the optimist.
It's going to be amazing.
Optimism in me. Like they're going to have a farm and have ducks and have the donkey to protect the sheep. And then they, you know.
Ethelfled, I loved that Bjarke did not make her drink that drink.
And I said that. That was my good.
I know. But there was something subtle here, too. Before he slaps the drink away, he looks at Tura. Mm-hmm. And Tura looks at him and she just gives him this look of like, dude, you can't. Come on now. And I like that they made a big deal out of this. Mm-hmm. Again, every shot, every scene, every line has to have purpose. Has to. If you don't have purpose, it should not be in your story.
Agreed.
You think about it. He must think about Tura and what happened to her under
Idishay
Sven and what's his name, Kjartan. And he now knows how awful Ethelred has been.
He doesn't even have a clue, but he knows that there has definitely been mistrust, that he's talking badly about her. He can see her demeanor.
Ethelfled says, you know, he's not been kind.
She says that after he knocks the cup over.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You 100% sure?
I thought so, because I thought that when that happened, he's like, are you all right? And Tira comes up and they're all like, all right.
Okay.
Now that we just did something shady, like, be honest with us.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it happens before, but I'm willing to be wrong.
Matter what, they're all honest with each other.
Yeah, and I like that he looks at Tura and says, I'm not making Ethelfled go through all this. I'm not, because I saw what happened to Tura, and that ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And he's known Ethelfled her whole life, and he says that. Like, this isn't who she is.
And when he says, God, may God strike me down, and there's this great moment of
where he just kind of stands there and waits.
Kind of stares there anyway, and he has this little wry smile, like, thank you. Ding. Thank you. Just good stuff.
Agreed.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my darling?
No, I just will continue to say thank you to all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. I'm here for the show. I'm here for it, baby. Let's do it.
All right. I got some listener feedback. You ready for it?
All right. I am.
This one comes from Kelly. She says, absolutely love hearing your process and thoughts as you watch this show, Mary and Blake. Knowing what comes ahead, I grin as I listen to some of your thoughts about future plot lines and look forward to hearing your reactions to them. There's so much ahead. Like you said, how they plow through the action and time in the series. And I agree that the episode just done, where they take Dunholm, is one where we see lots of growth in the characters. And yes, Mary, watch out for Brita. She is awesome.
Yes.
I believe you'll come to enjoy Finnan and Citric as well as time goes on.
Team Finnick.
man, Team
Finnick. He doesn't wear too much eyeliner, like Uhtred's totes, you know, Green Day eyeliner level.
Green Day.
He is.
Oh, you know what?
So say we all.
Let's see. As time goes on, while Alfred is not necessarily the most exciting character, the bastard thinks. And I think he just brings a level of gravity of acting to the show. David Dawson, who plays him, is really good in this role. And by the way, Kelly, I would totally agree. David Dawson has hit it out of the park in this role. I think he's been really good. I just laugh with all your labels for all the people, Prince Hans and the other princesses and the drunk nephew. You guys are just great.
Aw, thank
and
you.
I agree that Father Bjork is truly awesome and love that he is your Hagrid. Hild is also excellent, and yes, everyone needs a Hild. Anyway, I just want to say
she's
thanks.
She's my Hedwig.
I just wanted to say thanks for doing this podcast.
You're a wizard, Harry.
As I believe it's a show a lot of people overlook. I don't have local friends who have watched it to discuss with, so I thoroughly enjoy listening to your takes.
That's what we're here for.
And I hope the school year is a great one for your littles and that you are blessed throughout the rest of the year. Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. This one comes from Leah. She says, there was no official church ban on priests marrying until the Second Lateral Council held in 1139.
Okay.
And it took a couple of hundred years after that to completely stamp it out. Before then, but only was it common for priests to wed and have children, but it was also common for them to hand down their positions and offices to their sons.
I mean, why not?
So you'd have monasteries that were basically like little dynasties. So Father Bjorka did not have to give up his job or position
sweet.
In
why
order
not?
To marry. I know, right?
You get this, you're fed, you get clothes, you're taken care of, you're protected. Yep, I'm here for it.
All right, you got a Destined to be theory of the week?
Yeah, I think Ethelflaed's going to be down with the
pagan. Wait, we got things to do here. We got to get a look at the document.
Have a pause.
We just wanted to remind you that this Destined to be theory of the week is brought to you by the Mary and Blake store. By the way, we have a whole new line of the Last Kingdom merch.
Ooh.
So, if you want your Destiny is All shirts and Team Uhtred shirts and positive vibes only shirts, trust me, you want to go to the maryandblakestore.com. All right, Mary, now it is time. Let's do it.
My destined to be theory is that Ethelfled loves braids. Give that girl some braids. The hair is meant for braids. Some fishtail, some little mini ones with some beads, maybe a bone. I'm here for it. I've already Pinterest made a board of what she would look like with Dane hair. Pagan her up. It'd be how could you do it? The print me like a pagan hashtag.
Print me like a
primp me
like print
a,
me like a pagan.
Makeover. that's my theory.
Print me like a pagan.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh,
that's my theory.
Oh man, that was good stuff, Mary. That was
you?
Good stuff. All right, mine. Oh, What is mine? Shall we?
You don't have one. It's fine. Just move
no,
on.
No, no, no. I got one. I
no,
got
you don't.
One. I've got a feeling.
Ooh-hoo.
Thank you. That
tonight's gonna be a good night.
I've got a feeling that Alfred is totally gonna lay the blame on all of this stuff that happened at the end of the episode.
Low-hanging fruit, Blake.
On Uhtred.
Low-hanging fruit.
Why is that?
That's called you didn't have a destined to be theory, and you're just like, there's going to be a fight, a war soon. That's my theory.
Get out of here.
And Uhtred's going to get in trouble.
Listen, it's not a flaming hot take, okay? It's not flaming. We're not Chernobyl
ice
level.
Cold. All right.
Listen, this is a somewhat microwave take, okay? I will give you that. But you know that Alfred's totally going to lay
this
the blame on Uhtred.
This is a thawed out accidentally because we lost electricity take.
Fine. Here we go. I got another thing for
you. No, you just pulled this one out of
your
No,
I got
too.
Another one mm-hmm. for you. Leah Fritsch's nephew, who has all of a sudden come into
Hashtag
the group.
Random. Random guy.
Hi, just so you know, I'm going to be important in an episode or two. And you owe me.
Someone from Team Uhtred is going to die. And my thought is going to be Clappa.
I think it's... Oh, clap or whatever, he reminds me of my friend's skeezy dad. So he can totally die. He totally can, okay?
That's a good point.
That was so gross and awkward. I'm all set. No sleepovers at her house. You know who I think is going to die?
Who?
The little guy who wants to get married and live happily.
Citric?
Citric.
You think Citric croaks?
I think he dies right before his wedding. Goodbye. Whatever. Like, okay, I thought he was going to have a moment because he was upset about Kjartan's death. That hasn't come to fruition. Why are you here? Move on. You're not hot like Finnan.
Citric is a good looking dude.
Not as hot as Finnan.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Okay? I would agree with
you. Like, you could be like, oh, you're cute. And then Finnan came in and you're like, sorry. It's like baked potato. I like you, but loaded baked potato? Yeah. Yeah.
With mussels? Loaded
sour
baked
cream,
potato with mussels
and
an Irish
and
accent?
Some chives? Yeah. That's the Irish nachos? Thanks. Goodbye, Citric. You can die.
Yeah, basic.
You are Clappa. I would prefer Clappa.
Yeah, I
Clappa can be gone.
I think Clappa croaks.
Clappa, though, if Clappa dies, he's going to have a really gruesome, sad death, kind of like when the Mountain died in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Because you can't kill a man like that.
Oh, he ain't going down easy.
No.
It's going to be ugly.
He needs like
he needs four dudes.
An upper or like something gross.
Yeah.
Like stomach intestines coming out or like.
And you know they're not afraid to do that stuff.
Or maybe he's like half cut up, but he still is moving.
Yeah.
You know, he's unstoppable. All right.
He's basically the Mountain. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
All right, friends. So here we are. Hopefully you brought some levity to your day. We want to thank you so much, first and foremost, for listening to us. Blake and I just love connecting with you. So know you can always email us at maryandblake@gmail.com. We do have an exclusive Facebook community.
maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Yeah, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Gotta get the branding
Sorry,
right.
I totally get it wrong.
Protect the shield, Marvin.
We have an exclusive Facebook community. Just search Mary and Blake on Facebook. Request to join us. We would love to have you there. And we do want to let you know that this podcast is also partially sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com. If you like makeup or skincare or have some questions and want to try some new things out, in addition to podcasting, I love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup. So just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary, start to follow me, and I will hopefully meet up with you soon and help you on out.
And of course, as always, we want to thank all the members at JoinTheNerdClan.com. Thank you so much. And if we do bring Lumos in your time of Nox, and we do bring value to your viewing of The Last Kingdom, please do consider becoming a member at jointhenerdclan.com, an official Nerd Clan member where you get tons of amazing bonuses and extras and stuff that we do, including our knee-jerk reactions, which has become a crowd favorite at jointhenerdclan.com. We just did one for Malignant, the movie that came out on HBO Max, so you don't want to miss out on that.
I didn't watch it.
Well, you started it and then you stopped it.
Yes.
Which was totally fine.
Yes.
Which I understood.
Yes.
Mary's not a big fan of horror movies, so I get it. So do please become a member at jointhenerdclan.com. We are looking to get a new computer. We are looking to get 1,000 members there. And if we do get 1,000 members, we can get some new equipment. So thank you so much for considering joining the Nerd Clan. So thank you. That's it, Mom. That's all I got.
We got this. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.